Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. And Canadian sports fans around the world, thanks for joining us for coffee this morning on this Wednesday, November the 13th. We're coming to you from the bunker in beautiful Western Canada, where it is warming up, the thermometer says. And I'm your host, Rod Peterson. He's the co-host over there on his phone, Darren DuPont.
Yep.
It's like I'm chocolate. He's nuts. Is that fair?
I love, yeah, a little almond bark.
Yeah, exactly. It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It is.
The Duke joins us here for the rollout for Flooring Superstores. How you doing, Duke?
I'm fantastic.
You're looking good, as always. The best dressed guy in the panel.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Pretty sharp.
Yeah, he is pretty sharp. Sharper than the edge of town, this guy. It is episode number 114 of the Rod Peterson Show. That means we will be honoring number 14s in sports history because we haven't quite made it through all the numbers. And for me, there's just one that I'll point out, and that Theo. Is one, Jordan Eberle.
Oh, Theo.
Theo, sorry, there's two. Jordan Eberle, Theo Fleury, Oilers and Flames stars. But that'll be a fun thing. What are your favorite number 14s throughout
Sobchak.
This program? Sobby?
Yeah, Dennis Sobchak.
Yeah, for Lang? Okay, stop. We can go on for hours on this. So you got these two jabronis here in the bunker with me. Guests coming up on the program. I'm pretty excited about Nick Lewis, CFL's all-time receiving king, will be in the bunker. I'm not totally sure how Clark lined that up. I know why. It's because he's Nick Lewis. But the funny thing is, apparently Nick Lewis said to Clark, by the end of the show, Rod's going to love me.
I think you don't.
A problem with Nick Lewis.
Don't you love him before the show?
Yeah, I've never had a problem with Nick Lewis. Now, he was a Calgary Stampeder in the heyday of the hatred. I hated him then, but I would suggest when the game was over and we left the stadium, we left that behind, didn't we?
I would
say, or at least I did.
I would say Nick Lewis was also one guy that you did like to hate when the game was on, but he was kind of a colorful character.
Oh, yeah. He was great for the CFL.
He was absolutely great for the
great
CFL.
Great quote, and he will be here in the bunker, and I thank Nick for that and for Clark for lining him up. Our NHL insider, one of them, as I look at the board. Rich Sutter's on, is he not? Yeah, Richie. Dan Rashevich will be here, Ryder Hall of Famer, and former CFL receiver, particularly with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Maurice Mann. And I'm looking forward to that chat. Now, I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball at you folks today with no Don Cherry talk. I'm Don Cherried out. I've heard people say on social media they're Don Cherried out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the latest take on this is the comments from Jessica Allen from The Social. I didn't know who she was. People are sending me her comments. I'm like, I don't care.
No.
But, you know, she took the swipe at white Canadian hockey players and just wow,
move along,
not a good look,
and says that I don't care about hockey and I don't care about white hockey rich kids, and I'm like, well, that's discriminatory, that's narrow-minded, so but I don't want to go down that road. But the only poll question, however, the only thing we'll do with that is the poll question today for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Clark and I put our heads together on this one and came up with this. Who should replace Don Cherry on Coach's Corner? And these were the options we came up with. Brian Burke, Tiger Williams, Haley Wickenheiser, or Colby Armstrong. And if there was a fifth option, I would have loved to have put other. But that's what we're asking people to vote on today. Why did you just roll your eyes?
What about Rod Peterson?
No, I don't think so.
No, not there.
And you guys were wondering why I would say Tiger. Tiger had told me that he has long been approached by CBC and Hockey Night in Canada to fill that role or be the next guy.
It's funny because how many times has your phone blown up? I know I'm getting messages. Hey, there's an opening. There's an opening now on the network for you. And I'm like, that's not a broadcast opening, like a traditional opening. Like that's not something that I'm even in the realm of, like, I'm not even in that universe.
No, but I will say this about Grapes. I mean, 40 some years, one of the strongest brands in Canadian history. But everything does come to an end, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, Grapes, thanks for everything and all the great things he's done for hockey and the military and you name it. But it is over. And it looks like he's ready for it to be over. But that's our poll question today. And maybe write in with a vote. If you don't like any of the four options, let us know. Just some hellos today because we are live. We are interactive here. Our good friend Mike Lee checking in from Honolulu, Hawaii.
I know.
Good morning, Mike.
I am.
Still got your jammies on?
Yeah.
It's like 6 a.m. over there.
Probably, you know, the sun is just coming up and it's nice and warm and, you know, listening to the ocean roll.
Can we do
up.
The show from Maui?
Yeah. Can we take it?
He wants us to.
I'd do it.
He wants it. Can you get Paul on that? Where's Paul, by the way? Doing business?
Well, if Mike's going to fund it, we don't need Paul.
Yeah.
We can just do it.
Obviously, everybody has tuned in for the CFL talk, and that's why I said it's not really a curveball to say that we're going to jump right into the CFL talk. But that is what we're going to do. It was what made me think of it. Where's the guy from Winnipeg? Colin Andrew says, good morning, gents from Winnipeg. Good morning, Winnipeg. And see you soon. Right? Because they're all coming here
Come
this weekend.
In.
I got people writing me for tickets for the Rider game on Sunday. I'm like, listen.
There's still tickets available.
Yeah, buy them. Thank you for saying that.
There's actually, I checked this morning, there's a number of tickets available. And I'm trying to figure out why. Some of them are like $75. So that's part of the reason. Probably.
That is a question for another show because we're going to talk about the game. But our business development director over there, Tyler, just yelled from the couch, the sponsor's couch, Seat Giant. Go on seatgiant.ca to purchase your tickets for Sunday's West Final. Seatgiant.ca is very simple to purchase your tickets there. And speaking of sales, I got to do one last thing. Welcome, Wendell Clark Saskatoon is our newest sponsor. Awesome. And I know the boys, Doyle and Gary, are watching this morning. They're going to be airing the show, if they're not already, every day in Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. I love the marriage. Tyler says that this show is very big in Saskatoon, which dupes you and I know because we do spend a fair amount of time there.
Oh, yeah.
And they tell us that. And it's just funny to be working with Wendell Clark, partnered with Wendell Clark's, because Wendell, I didn't necessarily really like Wendell. I loved him as a Leaf, but I didn't like him as a Blade. And for me, he would always be a Blade. Sure. Do you know
right.
what I mean?
For sure.
And if you know the Clarks at all, do you know the Clarks? You must know the Clarks.
Yep.
I know them all. They're very rough around the edges, very crusty. You know, and Wendell still is, and Donnie, God bless his soul, that's the way he was. But they got hearts this big, right? That's the whole thing about the Clarks. They're gruff and stuff, and I think Wendell's a little not as crusty as he used to be, certainly when he played.
Right.
He's not running around knocking guys out.
No.
So,
not doing that in the restaurant.
So I will say this about Wendell Clarks. I stopped in there on the way to a Rush game. I was by myself, and I said to the server, what's the best thing on the menu here? What's the most popular thing? She said, fish and chips. And I said, what's great really? About fish and chips? I know. I don't ever order it. It's the most calorie-rich thing you can order. She goes, we crush the salt and vinegar chips, roll the fish Ooh. In the salt and vinegar Ooh. And deep fry it. Oh, my knees got weak.
You weren't watching.
And now I'll
then.
Never order anything else but the fish and chips at Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon.
I think that's why the food's so good. Because they're all worried that Wendell's going to be around the corner waiting to drop a bomb.
Yeah. So my point, listen, it was a Pat's Blades thing. That's why I had wasn't a fan of Wendell. I've done a lot of events with Wendell. I love him. And I'm just so happy that we got that together. So thanks, Gary and Doyle and the crew up there. And of course, Wendell. So listen, here's to the main stuff here in the rollout for Flooring Superstore. Day one of Rider practice today, guys.
Interesting.
You saw... Actually, there's breaking news from the Riders, Derek. Do you want to mention that?
Well, I haven't read it yet, but they are doing some work to team up to honor a legend, George Reed, with the city. They're actually pleased to announce that a section of 10th Avenue will be renamed in honor of Rough Rider legend George Reed. So it'll be called George Reed Way. It'll begin at Elphinstone and run west along the stadium to Crescent Point Energy Gate 2. So basically just outside there.
Cool. George Reed Way.
George Reed Way.
I mean, nice move.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
now classic. They got to win a football game on Sunday, and so back to day one. It's a closed practice to the public, but it's open to the media, and they don't practice till afternoon, right? I'm loving indoors. It ever has place, which is fine. Do whatever you got to do, Dickie, and you know that he will. Like, this is coach's discretion as to whether you're going to open practice, whether you're going to close it, let the media in or don't. I would fairly I'm fairly sure, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, the media will be told what they can and can't report. They're always told what they can and can't shoot. Like, what are you expecting for coverage out of Rider practice today? Day one as it pertains to Cody Fajardo.
That's all it is.
That's all it is. That's the news.
That's all it is. And I expect, I don't know that they're going to be told what they can and cannot report. They're going to report what they see.
Of course.
And I know we're going to get it on Twitter. Someone's going to tweet it. I don't think he's going to gather them around before practice and be like, okay, you can say this, you can't say this, you can't say this. If they're going to let the media in, they're going to be able to report on what they see. And I think we're going to know.
It's been my history otherwise, but continue.
I have never been told that. It has been suggested things that maybe leave out, but if I see it, it's fair game.
So if Cody Fajardo is throwing or not throwing, we'll know within minutes.
We'll know within minutes. I think we'll know if he, like, we're going to be watching how he walks onto the practice field. If he's limping, if he's not, if he's tender, if he's not, if he's got any extra tape on. We're going to know every little detail about Cody Fajardo. But I would expect him to come out and take a lot of the first team reps.
I'm surprised that nobody has gone down the Cody Fajardo is now, partnered with the hospitals of Regina, and there's a picture of him and they're holding a baby in a car seat. Nobody's analyzing how heavy that baby looks and how much that car seat is, because it's his right hand holding that car seat up from the back, and how much stress would that put on that oblique muscle? And that conspiracy isn't out there. I was waiting for that one. I was
not
quite excited.
They just tweeted the photo this morning.
My guess is that he will be out there. Tomorrow is a closed practice from everybody.
Okay.
I would think that is going to be the real telltale. I would almost quite honestly expect him not to do a ton today, whether he's ready to or not, in front of the viewing eyes of the media. This is cloak and dagger time. This is time to say, oh, geez, we just don't know, and you want to have Winnipeg guessing as much as possible, I think.
And by the way, you got to forgive the Riders if they pull your leg a little or fib to the world. Marshall Hamilton said it best on our TV show last night. It's like poker. Poker face and bluffing, and that's what it is this time of year.
Winnipeg did it last week with Strevler.
Exactly.
He can't even walk. I mean, we're going to have to amputate his leg second half. I mean, I think he maybe ran just about as many snaps as Zach Caleros did.
But when's the last time Cody Fajardo threw a football in a game?
It's been a while.
It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, but we don't know how many times he's throwing inside. I mean,
that's true.
Like,
they still need to be prepared for a Western final. You can do all this time holding him back, not putting him in practice, but you got to make sure you're sharp and make sure you're ready.
Yeah, but Caleros didn't throw a football in a game for an entire almost full season.
True.
And he's looked okay.
Wayne in Victoria, BC, chiming in this morning. He says, I think Cody will play this game no matter what. It won't be a repeat of last year. I've gone on record as believing he'll play too. The question is, how close to 100% is he? This is how diagnosed this is, or not diagnosed, I guess, but how much is being discussed around here. Like Tom Shepard, we were with yesterday, the owner of the Riders, saying that, on that oblique, it's may affect your velocity and your timing and how well you can throw the ball. And he's probably right. Tom's been around a long time. He's in the Hall of Fame. I've got sports therapists on Twitter that I'm reading, friends of mine that are saying maybe it's not even in oblique at all.
That's my question too.
A franchise that has been notoriously guarded with all their information is just going to throw out casually that's an oblique muscle strain?
I was quite surprised when it was like pinpointed, this is what it is. Really? That's the first time I've ever heard anybody actually pinpoint what an actual injury is. I mean,
especially for a guy who has a chance to play.
Everything is either upper body, lower body, outer body, and all of a sudden we're pinpointing it's his right oblique. That just seemed kind of
a little odd.
Well, it did seem a little bit. Now, I will say, Craig Dickinson, the head coach, the guy that runs this team, is a very upfront, open guy, has been in his entire two decades in this league. That would lead to kind of his mantra. He doesn't hold back a whole bunch. He's kind of a tell you how it is guy.
Yep.
So it would surprise me less under his era. Under Chris Jones's era, you wouldn't have a clue if this is an ingrown toenail or if he was starting to go bald. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have a clue what was the matter with Cody Fajardo. So it is a little different with Craig Dickinson here. So I'm not saying that they're making stuff up, but you could see it actually coming out.
We've got all these people writing in from Winnipeg this morning saying good morning from Winnipeg. And we'll say good morning back to you, Winnipeg. I mean, these are the storylines here, obviously Cody Fajardo's health status, which we'll maybe have an idea by the end of the day what that is. And then once that's determined, if they we do know before game time whether he starts or not, it's going to become Zach Collaros' return to Ryderville. Whether you like the storyline or not, it's going to be. I'd like to know from Winnipeg, what are the storylines that you folks have? We'll get into that and more when we come back. I want to talk about the Hamilton Tiger Cats for real, of course. We have not spent enough time on that, and they're hosting the East Final on Sunday. BC Lions, reports out of BC, a couple of them, are that Paul LaPolice is desired by Ed Hervey to be the next head coach there. And did you guys say that Rick Dhaliwal said on this show yesterday, or last week, that Gary Drummond might be the next owner of the BC Lions?
Yeah. He absolutely...
How did you not jump all over that one?
Because I was like, I thought he was in the East with the Schooners.
Yeah, well, we all thought that. But this is the Regina billionaire, former owner of the Arizona Coyotes, now rumored to be the next owner, potentially the BC Lions. Hey, Canada-Russia Super Series tonight, right?
Yeah, Saskatoon.
There is a pregame event at Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Saw it on Facebook.
That's exciting.
So head to Wendell Clark's before the game, and then PA tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so there's that. A lot of things to get to. That's some of your sports on tap tonight.
Whoa, it's a big night
for ballers. We'll be right back. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. On this Wednesday morning, time for a sports update. For Ballers Rec Room, Elias Pettersson celebrated his 21st birthday with a pair of goals as the Canucks ended a four-game winless streak with a 5-3 home win over the Nashville Predators last night. Patty Marleau scored his fourth goal of the season, and Erik Karlsson had three helpers as the San Jose Sharks beat the Oilers 6-3. Mike Smith had a tough night in net for Edmonton. Sharks beating him three times in the first 11 minutes of the game. I wasn't watching the game. I was working in my home office, and my phone was going off. Bing, 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 bing.
But they have
notifications.
They're still playing pretty good.
The Oilers?
Yeah.
They're still in first place, right?
Yeah.
Last I looked.
Well, they beat the snot out of Anaheim the other night.
So. Adam Werner looked more like a veteran than a 22-year-old making his NHL debut. He came on in relief and stopped all 40 shots he faced as the Avalanche blanked the Jets 4-0 at Bell MTS Place. That one I did watch a good portion of on TSN3, and Jets didn't look great there. And the Canadiens' never-say-die attitude was in full force against the Blue Jackets. Montreal scored twice in the third before Jonathan Drouin netted the shootout winner in a 3-2 come-from-behind win over Columbus at Bell Center. And that is your Wednesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. So people all over the... The Riders stuff. Darcy Engen writes in on the Facebook wall and says, I think the Riders are just keeping a secret from Rider fans that Fajardo is done for the season with a torn spleen just to sell seats for the West Final. Dun, dun, dun. No, I wouldn't go that far, but I can tell you this. you know, I have no idea what the status of Cody Fajardo is. None. Zero.
Few people do, I believe.
Few people do. As a matter of fact, back to Thomas Arthur Shepard. Tom Shepard, the owner of the Riders, who was on our TV show last night, says not only does he not know, he thinks nobody knows if Fajardo will play, and that includes Cody. Hmm. He might not even know.
Well, he's been pretty adamant that he will play, you know, in spite, despite the pain of the injury. Now, he did say that 2 weeks out, but he did start throwing a wiffle ball, so at least he's been through the motion, and he's been able to do that. And I mean, I would be very, very surprised if he doesn't give this a go, but we will definitely learn more today, because it has been kind of murky, and with the bye, I mean, there's no reason for any information to get out, and he's been rehabbing. But you just knowing these guys, I mean, you take a look at Streveler last weekend in Calgary for the Bombers. I mean, how hurt was he? He could have been quite hurt. I think back to the days they were making such a big deal of it. I'm like, so what? Wes Cates won the 2007 Grey Cup with a broken foot.
Right. Mentioned that yesterday.
So, yeah, those sort of things. These guys, I mean, this is what they do. This is the time of year you play, and you almost have to be missing a limb not to be on the field at this time of year.
Colin from Winnipeg writes in and says, the Jets game last night was what happens when Hellebuck doesn't go into God mode. He didn't last night. No, he didn't. But the Oilers for a long time were like that too, right? Stop relying on your goalies so much. The odds are out, by the way.
For the games?
I wonder who you think would be the favorite for the game, before I reveal the odds. From oddshark.com, by the way.
Riders Bombers?
Yeah.
Riders by 3.5.
Wow, man.
Good?
You are a savant.
Wow, I mean,
it's Riders by 4.
So basically, it's a pick'em game. You get 3 points.
Slightly by the Riders.
You get 3 points as the home team, basically. And I would say that this is kind of a pick'em game. I mean, it's if you're a Riders fan, aren't you a little bit nervous about this one?
Why? Because the pressure's on them?
No, because of the way the Bombers played and showed up and looked really good in Calgary last weekend. I mean, that was a close game that they kept close on the road, doing a nice job that they dominated in the second half. They completely stifled Bo Levi Mitchell. I think he had just about as many interceptions as completions in the second half. Winnipeg looked really good. With two guys going full speed as quarterback, I thought they looked really good. I think that the Riders will definitely have their hands full in this one. Jason Shivers is going to have his hands full trying to game plan that defense, which we know is a great Riders defense. But, you know, not only do they just have to game plan for Streveler and kind of his running and throwing wounded ducks out there, because, oh, we'll pull him out, we put Caleros back in. Well, now you got a bona fide quarterback that's proven that he's looking okay and he can make some plays, and he's back to playing really good football. The offense, we've seen it, you know. The Riders' offense has sputtered at times, especially early in games, and all these late-game heroic comebacks. Well, is that guy going to be leading him again? Is it going to be Cody Fajardo? There's some unknown questions there, too. So, yeah, I even think Riders by 4 is maybe even a bit generous for the green and white.
I think Riders by 1.5.
Yeah,
is what I said yesterday. That's how tight. Close I think that this football game is. Now, regarding the status of Cody Fajardo, Nelson Hakowicz on the Facebook wall writes in and he says, do you go with the mindset of you have all offseason to recover? Or in this age of sports, is that too much of a financial risk to the team? No, sports hasn't changed that way, I don't think. Cody, if he can play, he's playing. And that's why I think he'll play. Mm-hmm. The point is, how close to 100% is he?
Right.
That's why I think it was so hard for Zach Caleros to pull himself from last year's playoff game, if that's indeed the story. You understand, you don't always get the whole story. But come Sunday night, when we learned that the Bombers were coming in here for the West Final into Saskatchewan, people were all over Caleros. I don't know if you saw it on social media, about he bailed last year. Yeah. He's a coward. He's this and that. And I think, just knowing Zach as well as I do, he's the ultimate competitor. It must have the hardest thing he ever would have done to say, I can't play.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel right.
And I mean, injury is an injury, but different circumstance. I mean, this guy is dealing with a head injury.
Right.
And you got to err a little more on the caution of a pulled muscle or something like that. Yes. Then you have all off season to heal. we don't know. We still know very little about these head injuries. We just know that it's a problem. I don't think you. That's to me. That's comparing apples to oranges when you're comparing Cody Fajardo's oblique injury to Zach Collaros.
It actually is apples to oranges.
Yeah, right. I just don't think that's fair to compare those two.
Well, and furthermore, Craig in Regina joins the discussion, and he says, "Do the Riders take an early roughing the passer penalty?"
Oh, jeez.
Well,
on which quarterback?
Let's talk about it.
On which quarterback?
On Zach, period. Do you go after his head? And I'm sorry, but it needs to be talked about because that's what the Bombers did last year. Jackson Jeffcoat in the playoff game went after Brandon Bridges' head. I'm sorry, but it happened. And it does happen. And Odell Willis did it the week before with Zach Collaros in this stadium.
And some guys
do you do it?
Are just serial players like that. Simone Lawrence, point in case. He's a thuggish player. I'm not going there again. Some players do. I do believe, and maybe I'm a bit naive, that, yeah, if you got a guy that's dinged up, you're gonna hit him a little harder. You're going to try. But to go out there and just blatantly injure a guy, I don't know that guys do that because they always know that turnaround is fair play. And there's guys out there that would then come ahead and come back and do that to you. And it could be, you know, could be career ending. And I don't know that anybody wants to be the guy that's known for being the career ender. I mean, you could talk perfect point in case, Ricky Foley. You know, basically, he was the last play of Anthony Calvillo's career.
Yeah.
I don't think Ricky Foley's walking around being proud, telling everybody that he ended Anthony Calvillo's career or that he set out on that play.
Now, he feels terrible about it. I talked to him.
Exactly. Does he see Anthony Calvillo there and see he has a chance to hammer him and maybe, you know, want to ding him up? Absolutely. But I don't think in those moments that it goes through his head, hey, I got a chance to end Anthony. No, that I just don't believe that goes through guys' heads all the time.
Probably not. But let's just go back. I wish I had the video. Jackson Jeffcoat left his feet to clock Brandon Bridge right here and knock him out of the game. Like, come on. That was intentional, man.
Well, and you know
that.
Guys.
And I just look at the guys on this Rider team right now. Charleston Hughes doesn't have a history of doing that.
No.
Zach Evans does not have a history of doing that. None of the guys on the Riders' defensive front have a history of doing that.
If they get a chance to hammer them, they're going to.
Yeah, but they don't have a history of doing it to anybody.
No.
Period. Jeffcoat went out of... Odell Willis has a history of doing it.
Bobby Clark, for instance, in the 1972 Summit Series... You know, Ferguson looks up and down his bench and says, "We got to stop this guy." When they're talking about Harlamov, yeah, Bobby Clark has it in him to go. You know what? I'm going to go out there and whack this guy. Did he think he was going to break his ankle? No, but he wanted to slow him down. Some guys do have the mentality that they will do the whatever it is to win. But I think for the most part, guys are looking to put a good shot on him, but they don't want to be known as the dirty guy.
No, and a viewer chimed in and said he doesn't think that Craig Dickinson is that kind of coach.
Oh, gosh.
No. Do you think Mike O'Shea is? Do you think Mike O'Shea deliberately sent out Jeffcoat to do that?
No.
Or BC's coach was Wally Buono last year, was it not? Was it just last year? Yeah, it was. And I don't think he sent out Odell Willis to headhunt on Zach. It's not on the coach. It's on the player. To the Prairie Mobile text line, Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer with locations across the prairies. Trenton Norway writes in. He says, Norway texting. Regarding number 14s, remember Davey Keon? No. Wow, that's going. No,
nope,
I don't.
Nope, sorry.
And says, let Haley Wickenheiser make history. Remember 2002 and the big kids at Salt Lake City? Haley should be on Coach's Corner. Let her make history. That is our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Who should replace Don Cherry on Coach's Corner? And the options are Brian Burke, Tiger Williams, Colby Armstrong, and Haley Wickenheiser. And right now, Tiger leads.
Oh, jeez.
On our Facebook poll by 31.3%. They say it should be Tiger Williams. And frankly, so do I. Brian Burke, 29% of the vote, and I'd be okay with Berkey in there for sure. I enjoy Berkey on there. It's one of those things where you don't always agree with him, but you watch him. I like Berkey on there.
I wonder sometimes if he understands understands it, but is not going to do the entertainment value that is. Don Cherry...
He's getting there.
Don Cherry understood the entertainment value of his position as well. Berkey sometimes, I think, just doesn't give a rat's
I think
ass.
He's getting it.
Yeah.
I think Berkey's getting it. Moving on, Colby Armstrong, 20.8% of the vote, and Haley Wickenheiser 18.8%. So I don't think that our viewers and listeners anyways are on board with the Haley Wickenheiser train regarding...
She has a job.
She's fine.
And I think, is she not going to be a doctor too? I think she's still taking schooling and working.
Yeah,
for the
so was Brett Jones going to be a doctor. Now he's on the offensive line of the Minnesota Vikings. So sometimes life gets in the way.
That Cowboys game.
Nashville in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan writes in and he says, the Riders aren't a dirty team, but if they want to win the game, they're going to have to start fast on defense and let the offense gain its strength. Nobody's advocating here that they knock out Zach Caleros with a headshot.
No.
Some of our viewers are. But let's just remember one thing. This isn't going to just come down to Zach Caleros either. Chris Streveler has beaten this Saskatchewan Rough Rider team, and it was soundly in the Banjo Bowl. Was
with
it not
no
35-13 with no Andrew Harris?
Yeah. I mean, and they do have, once again, all due respect to William Powell, they do have the best running back in the entire league, a guy that does it both on handoffs, on catches. You know, he's one of the most dynamic players in the last few years in Andrew Harris. So, yeah, it's not just Zach Caleros. It's not just Chris Streveler, but there's a whole host of guys out there that can hurt you. And they showed it. It was on full display in Calgary. I mean, that was a dominant performance, as dominant as I remember in quite a while, maybe going back to the 2013 West Final. When the Riders went in there and just, you know, pulled down the Stamps' pants and spanked them a little bit. It felt like that. Like, it was just, when it started to go, they were steamrolling and there was no stopping the Bombers.
By the way, that is the ebbs and flows of sports and why we love it, both as fans and participants. Like, they are devastated in Calgary. Devastated. And I'm not saying that we're relishing in that. I'm saying, if you hate Calgary, you can relish in that because they were on the top of the mountain for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And to be out before division final Sunday weekend?
Well, it's strange for them.
Very strange for them. Very strange
for them. And what's the goofy stat that either the team that beats Calgary, like, basically goes or wins the Grey Cup, or Calgary themselves? Like, basically, the path has gone through Calgary
right.
for a number
it's
of
wide
years.
Open now.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, is it not just a little bit nerve-wracking as a Riders fan to have the opportunity to lose two back-to-back seasons to Winnipeg with home playoff games? That would be terrifying. It's just a Winnipeg of all places. Like, a BC came in here, you know, they win, okay, whatever. Edmonton, man, yeah. Losing back-to-back years at home to Winnipeg. I was texting with our good friend Aaron Anderson from Regina High School the other day, and I'm like, man, I just wouldn't want to be. And the players don't feel that. And that's
no,
just,
they don't.
That's just made up junk by like media hacks like myself. But that was all I could think about was, oh man, maybe they should play Calgary, because at least that way it's like not back to back at home versus Winnipeg. You know, who I think is still, I think Calgary's been the rival for a number of years, but that Winnipeg one never goes away.
Well, I've run polls, and the whopping winner of who the Riders' top rival is Winnipeg.
So there you go.
And that, you know, that's a 60-year history right there. And it's by yes. a landslide. It's Winnipeg.
There you go.
So everybody's watching this game
you don't
on Sunday.
Back-to-back.
No, you don't. And that's the pressure that's riding on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders right now. I'm with you. I think a lot of the young players don't understand it. And there's a chance that Cody Fajardo doesn't understand
it. Oh, sure.
No, there's a very good chance of that, because what did he say? It was the night before the Labor Day game before he realized this was a big deal.
Exactly.
It's not his fault.
They're not soaked in
it. He's a kid.
The fans are soaked in it. You know, the fans are soaked in. I remember going to Labor Day and that whole east side, the northeast corner, it would be blue with Bombers fans and you hated them and shut up when you're cheering over there and all those sort of, like, there was a genuine dislike, a great rivalry. So yeah, unless you're steeped in it, and I think it's the fans are steeped in it more. The players, not as much. I mean, they're nomads these days. You know, Cody Fajardo, he's been here, you know, what feels like about 3 hours. So yes, he starts to understand it as you're in the community and you feel a bit of it. But it's not like growing up here and hating those guys.
No, and just before we go to break on that, because we've got Nick Lewis coming up in the bunker here in hour two. Speaking of that, he feels that I hate him. So I don't know if this is going to be some loving embrace here today or not, but I don't hate him. I hated him as a Calgary Stampeder because of the rivalry. And let's be honest with you. I got paid more. I got a chance at a ring. Me personally, why wouldn't I want the Riders to win? Yeah. Think about that for a second. I had a lot at stake. And he was a big reason why if the Stamps won, of course I'd hate him.
He
but
was,
it wasn't
he was a big reason.
Personal. It wasn't personal. I would like to think that you talk about hating Bomber fans and the rivalry back and forth. It's not personal, is it? I know there's going to be 2, 3, 4 people that are idiots and take it too far and smash windows and slash tires, and that happens.
Some of those are our friends.
Yeah, we know some of those people. We know people that have had happened to and have done it, but it's not personal. And for me, it was never personal with Nick. Now, having said that, I've had a lot of friends go play for the Stampeders or go work for the Stampeders and call me and say, they hate you here.
But
it's personal.
But do the players hate you, or does the organization?
Well, the organization certainly does.
Sure.
And if that's hate, it takes up too much space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't. It's not personal with any of them. Anyways, we're going to take a time out. Speaking of great Alberta people, Rich Sutter joins us next, our NHL insider. It is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show on this Wednesday morning. Derek the Duke Myers with us. We're previewing CFL playoffs. And, of course, look, I was reading 3downnation.com, and I saw all the highest ratings have been for the Western games on TSN. Over a million?
No, it's not surprising.
No, and the Eastern games are a little below, and that's why look, 95% of our viewers are in Western Canada, our analytics show.
To be fair, you got to throw RDS in there because it was a Montreal home game, and normally the numbers we see are just the English speaking.
Right.
I think they did a pretty good number, 400,000, I think, on RDS.
So our next guest has texted me. He says, you've been in the sun, I thought. Where's the healthy-looking tan, brother? I had a guy text me yesterday and say, where have you been? Great tan. Well, Rich Sutter joins us, who has been down south, but not in the sun. Good morning, Richie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good, good. Where were you on the West Coast the last we talked, last week? You've been all over the place.
I'm in day 14 of 16 days, 13 cities in 16 days.
Cool. Would you, you're like Fleetwood Mac. Would you mind?
I will.
Yeah, right. I think you're having more fun than them. Tell the folks what you're doing, Richie, on these trips and where you're going.
I've spent quite a bit of time this last trip with our group. with the team watching us play, and just basically trying to get a really feel where I think we're at, where we are at, and then compare ourselves to the rest of the people around the league and the teams around the league, both in the American League and the NHL. So we're going through a bit of a tough time right now, but it's important to spend time with my group to see what we have and to compare what's out there. And then it's easier to evaluate where we think we are at as a group, from my personal standpoint, and help make suggestions, ideas, thoughts where we think we need to go and what we should be doing. And basically what I'm doing right now, that's my job, has been for the last 2 weeks. And yes, it was a long travel day. Took well over 12 hours to go from Los Angeles to Saskatchewan, for the Canada-Russia Subway Series. So I'm here for the next 2 or 3 days, which is good, and then be able to get home next week or at the end of the week.
Rich Sutter is a pro scout with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So when he talks about his group, that's what he's doing. So, by the way, Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon is our newest sponsor. Richie, they're having a pregame event there and supper. So you might want to check that out before you go to SaskTel Center.
I would probably hope to see Wendell. I'm going to run down the rink here this morning and try and get a little bit of a vibe of what's going on around with both the Western League kids and, of course, the Russian kids. So, preparation is the key to success.
Yeah, and the reason that I bring up the fact that you're with Columbus is, one, they're not on television much up here. As you know, you live in Lethbridge. When you probably have NHL center ice. I don't. But you do have a player from here, Ryan Murray, on the club. And they always say U.S. Thanksgiving is that watermark, right? That's when you kind of know what you have or you don't have. How close are the Blue Jackets to you knowing what you have as a team? And where does Ryan fit into that? White City's Ryan Murray.
Well, we know very well what we have as a team, to tell you the truth. And I think we're waiting for, basically, we know what our play is dictating right now, but we're waiting for our play to dictate where we feel we really should be at. We've had some unfortunate injuries with some of our young key players that we wanted to get real strong looks at. Alexander Texier is now back in the lineup. Has been good the last 2-3 games. Emil Bemström had struggled with some minor lower body stuff. I think that slowed him down in terms of his production. We're now starting to see what we're hoping to see from him. These are young guys that were trying to fill really important spots in our club with what we lost over the summer. And it may be asking a little bit too much from them at this point, but we feel in the long run we're going to be better off. So we're going to have to sweat our way through this, to go through some tough times. The Thanksgiving point of the year is a good barometer. I pray to God at this point that it's certainly not something that we'll look at from our side and say, okay, this is where it's going to end up being. So we hope that there will be a change, and we can maybe beat some of the odds moving forward from that date on as to where we expect our group to be, where we want our group to be, and most importantly, where we feel we should be.
Hey, Rich, when you look at things, losses, yes, but a lot of close losses. How frustrating is it, going back to your time as a player, and how does a coaching staff combat guys getting, you know, kind of that, oh, here we go again feeling when you're that, you know, when you're close, you know, shootout losses, one goal losses. I mean, you're right there. How does the coaching staff kind of get the guys to just get over that hump?
Well, it's difficult. The biggest thing is to stay positive. The biggest thing is we've been in 12 one-goal games. We had a game last night that we should have won. We had a game that got away on us again. Montreal pulls a goalie, we're up a goal, and we ice the puck, we hit the post, and because it's not a shot on net, it's an icing call. They come back down our end, win the faceoff, and score to tie the game. So that's how close we are to winning every night, mm-hmm. but that's also how far away you are from winning. And that is very upsetting and maddening in a way to see how that transpired last night, but that's kind of been how it's been for us at this point through the season. We've only got 3 regulation wins. And again, all those 11-1 goal losses have been 11-1 goal games have been very difficult to deal with. So it's hard on the psyche of your group. That's where you need very strong leadership. You need strong leadership, not just from your core group as players, but as your coaches, who I think have done a heck of a job. And I know for Yarmo is how patient can you remain to be to work through this with this young group. And when you're playing in the NHL, there's no second or third chances about, you know, woulda, shoulda, couldas and coming back to win games. They come and go by very quickly, and we are in a bit of a rut, but we feel we can work our way out of it, which is important.
Two last questions for Rich Sutter of the Columbus Blue Jackets and Sportsnet. By the way, Nick Lewis is in the bunker. Can somebody get the man a coffee or a water? Nick, you need something over there?
No, I'm good.
You said you're good? Okay, CFL receiving king Nick Lewis is in the bunker on the sponsor's couch. Richie, we don't do enough major junior hockey coverage, in my opinion. And you talked about the Canada-Russia game you're going to in Saskatoon tonight. I won't specifically ask you who you're going to be watching because I know scouts don't like to ask that. But what do you expect out of the game at SaskTel Center?
Well, I can tell you that I know the Western League group, this lineup is there's a lot of good young players, but there's a lot of players that are really underachieved to this point this season. And I think that has been disappointing. I wouldn't say even from central scouting standpoint, but probably from the teams that these individual kids have played on to this point. Not only are they underachieved a little bit, there's a lot of inexperience going into this game. Even though a lot of the kids know each other, they're going to be in tough against a team, a Rush team that is big and strong. They're fast. This is the time for these kids to maybe a little bit of a shot in the arm to get themselves going with the competition, with the excitement about representing your country, representing your league. Maybe this is what a handful of them need to get their own games going moving forward for their clubs at home. I'm certainly expecting it to be very competitive. I certainly hope it to be very energetic in terms of how these guys go out and play. And I expect a good game. Probably a little bit tougher tonight because it's the first time they're together as a group. First time they're going to see this Russian team in a same size ice surface maybe as we see tomorrow night, but a bigger building. And I think that it's going to feel like there's a lot of open space out there, so they have to do a lot of good things with their structure, with their skating and the pace of their game to try and narrow the gaps and the play to the pace of the Russian club.
Lastly, Richie, Daryl, but I'm going to be with him in Paradise Hills, Saskatchewan this weekend. Jeez. At a sporting event with Rachel Holman, the women's curler, Chuck Wagon, great buddy Benz Miller. We're all part of this sports panel. So can you give me some dirt or something that I should bring up to Brian and Daryl? I mean, I got a few things that I can think of, but you got to give me something as your brother that I can dig him on.
Well, Daryl will be up front. He'll be very to the point. We know that. I think he's got the best job in the world, in the hockey world today, with what he's doing with Anaheim. And I think it's an exciting time for him with their group. Brian, don't let Brian get up there and bullshit his way through anything. Tell him there's a time limit on him for every question because he can't repeat himself 14 times on the same question. And so he's got 8 or 10 minutes. So we have 8 or 10 questions. He's got to be short. He's got to be to the point, because he's the kind of guy that we've actually, as a family, he's been told, but he probably doesn't remember, is that he is no longer even thinks he's a spokesman of our family anymore, because he gets up and just bullshits to everybody, and half the stuff he talks about, he's full shit. You're not doing it anymore because you're not capable.
Well, by the way, I just heard a story, and I'll say from whom. Matthew Barnaby, a couple of weeks ago, I was with Barney, and he said, St. Louis Blues power play, 1996. Brett Hull, Wayne Gretzky, Adam Oates, up front, on the blue line, Chris Pronger and Al MacGinnis.
Wow.
And supposedly in a power play meeting, your brother Brian was writing something on the board, and Holly put his hand up and he said, "Brian, with all due respect, you scored 14 goals in this league. Give the marker to Wayne and go get us a coffee." Do you think that's true or BS?
Well, number one, who said that, Brett Hall?
Yeah. Supposedly.
Well, I play the Brett Hall often, and I'll never, ever believe anything Brett Hall says.
Right.
Brett Hall, according to him, is so much better than anyone else in the world.
Right.
So much smarter. He always told us how dumb all of his teammates were and why he was the smartest player. And number two, Brian Kelly never coached any of those assholes other than Brett Hall and that.
So it's a wrong story.
So, do you know what it probably was?
Keenan.
Honestly?
Keenan.
Had to have been Mike. Yeah. Had to have been Mike. Yeah. Because Brian scored a lot of goals in the National Hockey League. And like Mike Keenan scored any goals.
So they got the name wrong. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad I cleared that up. I cleared it up.
I'm glad I actually did that for you, Rod.
I appreciate you. You saved me a lot of embarrassment in Paradise Hill, just live television this morning. Richie, thank you. Enjoy the game tonight. Safe travels, brother, and keep in touch.
Yeah, let's try and track each other down over the weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rich. Rich Sutter, our NHL. I should have got my timelines together.
Maybe this has happened. How does a community that does all these fundraisers, like the one you're going to Paradise Hill, not try and get like 5, 6 or all of the Sutter boys together? Because
that'd be pretty hard to do. Well, look what he just said. He's on the road 14
of
16
busy,
days.
But can you imagine if you got 4 or 5 of them in a room on stage and just kind of wound it up and then just let it go? That would be
it has happened.
That would be an entertaining show, because as you could just see there.
By the way, listen. Everybody acts like this is CNN or something. It's not. Pull that mic out and Nick Lewis, come on and into the bunker here. Why not? In the time we have left here, in hour one, nobody went and got the guy a coffee.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, he brought his own. There's a pro.
He's working.
Nick, welcome.
Hey, buddy.
Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Good to see you, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, welcome. Oh. Nick Lewis, CFL receiving king, joining us here in the bunker a first time. How you doing, Nick?
I'm good.
You pull that mic right up to you there.
Soon to be Hall of Famer?
When
does that happen?
How long you got to wait?
It's got to be soon here.
It's like 3 or 4 years.
It's got to be soon.
So maybe 2021, 2022, somewhere in there.
Very soon, I assume.
I seen Anthony Calvillo go in with that great group with O'Shea and all those guys, and I was trying to talk Ricky Ray and John Bowman in retiring when I did, and it could have been me, Ricky Ray, John Bowman, and Ryan Phillips. But nope, they wanted to
be a hell of a group.
They wanted to be selfish.
Bowl may never retire. He's still going.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know, that's a good friend of mine. I had a pleasure of playing with him out in Montreal. And one of the biggest things is you always feel like you can play.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're retiring because you feel like, if you're staying because you feel like you can play, sometimes you just have to say, I'm walking away. That's what I did.
Yeah, no, on your own terms.
On my own terms.
Yeah. Well, so I just got to say this before we close out hour one. We're going to get deep into CFL playoffs in hour two with Nick Lewis and Dan Rashevich. But you told our producer, Clark, that I'm going to love you by the end of the show. I already do. What do you think I think of you?
We go way back, Rod, and I was like, man.
I know.
I couldn't even show my mom some of the things you said about me.
Come on.
But it's all good. You
get a long memory? You get a long memory?
I think Rider Nation likes me now.
I think so, too. Have I misread this?
I think it was always that love-hate because, one, Rider Nation does love the CFL. And part of the problem was when you guys were in Calgary, it always seemed to be you making those catches or hurdling somebody or the big play.
Yeah, when Hank wanted to look good, he threw it to me.
Or needed a first down.
But you were always good for the CFL because you weren't afraid to say what you wanted in the media. Sometimes you even played it up. You understood that it was also, there was an entertainment factor. So I do think that that there was that kind of, you knew how to play the villain coming in here.
Oh, of course. I mean, I learned from my cousin. He played professional football and arena football and played in the NFL a little bit. But you have to be an entertainer. There's a lot of people that can go out and make plays. You have to make people remember you. And one of the first things I did when I stepped on the field as a rookie, I said, everybody in the stadium will know who I am by the time this game is over. So it couldn't just be making a catch. I had to either hate, you got to love me or you got to hate me. You know, I'm going to get the WWE belt either way.
I was going to say,
the most hated or the most loved. So, and that's why I created personas and all those personalities, is because it played into the WWE theme.
Well, what do you think I was doing? You know Jack Fulton. You know Jack Fulton, by the way.
Oh, I love Jack.
Watches every day.
Love
and
Jack.
He gave it to me. Now, we're friends now, but he said, you called Bo Levi Mitchell a little puke back in the day on Fan 960. And I said, well, I don't remember that. I probably did. But isn't that fun stuff? That's fun. That,
it is.
You know, nobody does that anymore.
No. I remember Tad Cornegay, he had messaged me. I think it was for the 2009 final. It was somewhere around there. And then Tad was messaging me. He goes, hey, let's go out on Twitter. So we start going back and forth on Twitter. The fans get involved and they start getting personal. Tad's texting me. We're all laughing and we're joking. We got a lot of TV time that game. So it was good.
Name the last time that's happened in this league with anybody.
It probably won't happen that much anymore. I mean,
why?
The guys are good. They're friends around the league and things like that. But you still get the competitive nature. But that serious intent, you don't get as much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Derek.
Who was the best outside of yourself? Who do you think played that, understood that villain role and played it up? I mean, not Joffrey.
Cornish.
John Cornish knew how to play
Cornish,
it a bit.
Yeah. Kyrie Saber.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so those are a couple
I don't think Kyrie's was playing. Was he?
I've seen Kyrie's hit people at practice.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. That wasn't an act there.
And the other thing I think that was part of the reason that you guys played the villain, I mean, with all the celebrations, which I kind of, I love the boat, or the bobsled one when you guys did the bobsled. The bobsled is one of my favorite ones of all time. The bicycle was good too. But that was part of the love-hate, because I do think that fans go, man, why can't our guys do that? Why wouldn't have our guys thought of it that? So they hate you because you're doing it to their team, but at the same time, yeah, it is that WWE villain thing.
I mean, if you're good, if you're really good and you're a defensive lineman or linebacker, you're going to get double-digit sacks. You know how hard it is to get double-digit touchdowns?
Yeah.
And they do a sack dance every time, right? You got Edmonton, the whole team rolls. And but when you get in the end zones, you got to celebrate it. And you got to have fun with it, because it gives you a reason to get there. I remember with Cope and Kenyon back in the day, we used to all have our own celebration set up. Just first touchdown, second touchdown, third touchdown. We choreographed it in the locker rooms before, so we made sure we knew what we were doing and things like that. But that made you want to get in the end zones.
Yeah.
And I remember some of the Calgary fans hated it. They were like, this is not what you do this for. And I said, no, I do this to have a good time and support my family. That's it.
Calgary's got used to it, obviously. Right?
I scored a lot of touchdowns.
Right. That means you're winning.
That's it.
My only question I always wondered, because the Riders did it a little bit, was when you had time to do it. Because obviously coaches are saying, don't take away from your meetings. But you do have a lot of time outside your 4 hours, right?
Oh, man, as a player, you have copious amounts of time to do whatever you want to do. You know, we practice from 9 to 1:30. The longer my career went, the more I stayed in the locker room more to hang out with the guys and just be around. But other than that, you have a lot of time to come up with a lot of stuff and hopefully stay out of trouble.
Nick Lewis staying with us an hour two. Duke, we're bidding you adieu.
I'm out.
I understand. Thank you.
You got Hall of Famers all around.
Yeah, Dan Rashevich. Raz waiting in the wings. Hour two is coming up with the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live on this Wednesday morning. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from, with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in March, Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.